Superman, they delegation from the department. And everyone present here, you are mostly welcome. Honorable Schmidt, I was worried when we were about to start this meeting that we were only three, me, yourself, and Honorable Chapter. And then I remembered in one committee where the delegation of the ANC was not present and the opposition decided to take over the chair and to put the chairperson in president. But I was also worried to say the president yesterday proclaimed the date of election. And when our honorable members did not look at their list, and so that as this date is declared, is proclaimed, our names probably are too far. So let's start to prepare not to be part of the delegation of parliament now. So I can sit right here today. But on a serious note, let's also appreciate the, although it's a huge problem, I would say it's a bit of a progress made on the crisis in Mpumalanga Gloria Mine. We hope finally we will have a better final address of that problem. Although I read somewhere on the article that security guards were ambushed, I think it's becoming a territorial war now, but it's a serious matter. I must say also, in as much as we should respect the protocol that governs social partners, it is quite a, not necessarily a concern, but a matter that all of us should wish that there can be a speedy solution on the problem of the land. First, with the national action that is underway, but I think the major appeal we can make is that regardless of the difference, we should at least call for calm and obviously say in whatever dispute with regardless who is who, the level of violence is something that must be condemned. We don't think we should have a loss of life. Some point what I assume was that there are almost now 7 people that have lost their lives. I always say in situations like that one, the worst we can do is to start and point fingers at each other. That's what that party will find a way and say, regardless of the nature of dispute, let's respect each other's rights to life. I think it was one part, and also hopefully there will be a solution that is found. Well, in as much as I received something at briefing, whilst we are still trying to look at how parties resolve this, that something has come, that there were almost 6,000 jobs that could be lost. Although it said unrelated, and when the natural action takes too long, you may think that it's 6,000, and only to find at the end it could be more than that. And I hope that we come. You're not going to see the trees quite for quite a long time now, and probably never again say that they are recorded. But you are sure that the department, you are very close in the situation that we are talking about. The rest of our powers are quite limited now. I was left with 2 weeks, ne? Yeah, 2 weeks. After that, by the 20th of March, we don't exist. It's too hard.
I agree, because I think we've done this already. We passed resolution last Thursday to dissolve Parliament, so we're not in. But can I just say, Mr. Chair, you know, one of the biggest advantages of a military attack is the element of surprise. Now, the surprise this morning was that when you arrived, we were two, both from the opposition party. So the surprise was that it was nearly a takeover by the time you arrived.
I should appreciate your discipline for waiting for me if you have not present. Okay. Being the case, we may say this board. And yes, let us put on the other side of the for some and men and little fee. I'm worried that there's only one member from China that's here, from Hangzhou. I hope when I don't see some members of Hangzhou, like Honorable Norima and an honorable man that lives double lives, one in Ufa, one in Hampi. We won't get them died and then resurrected. You break the record of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was 2 days and you make it in 2 days. The joke of people tend to know. Now Jesus Christ's record has been broken. This is the Guinness Book. One person said, but these people, this man can allow us to cry so much for Mandela when he died.
Yeah.
And he's there, we could have resurrected him for us. He had a huge responsibility that he didn't undertake. But in the case of this day, this is part of life in South Africa. When you are dead now, you can go to heaven with your sinful. and take yourself from the God so that we can spend this time. That man was good to have a never said for me. So definitely is an interesting country. Okay. But one part I don't know, Honorable Smith, whether it's those who are in Ekuruleni or Job and Matthew. I saw something I still have to check and ask from those who in that community. That this man was being escorted by sub-metro police when he goes to church. Which room is that one? We still have to see. But I saw the pictures and they were the type of cars that the metro police was a willing participant. And I said, the cookers have not gone, they still are there. Because it was a big issue when they were escorted. Now I can see, the more money you have, the more you can get state escorts for you. But being the case of this day, any apologies?
Good morning, members of the apology from Ngos Mandela. Ms. Napolo and Mr.
Lorenz. Where are they?
Ms. Mandela is the prep. Ms. Napolo is the doctor's appointment and Mr. Lorenz is for another election.
Okay. I'm sure you're not expecting that because you know that I am a kind of sponge, but if you didn't hear the big gift you have from this is this beautiful, that's why you So I don't know what's the meaning of that. Now it's okay. The publicity is not good these days, much when it comes to women. So when you ask that question, okay. I'm watching Shaganawan. I'm with Shaganawan. Both of my apologies. Yes, like me. Both of my apologies, the members in the comment. Okay. Being the case as it may, honorable members, we only have a few matters. Let me say this. I'm not sure. We expect the department to give us the quarterly report. But let me say there's one member outstanding. If honorable members accept, because it's not here, we are not sure whether it should be in the form of matters of Isaac or in the form of a presentation on its own. I know the department is not ready. I know from the committee we are ready. The department has got a lot on their plate, so we excuse them. Last time we agreed that I just want to preempt it even before we arrive, that we to do a comparison exercise on what is contained in the high-level panel and the Human Rights Commission report, and also deal with the issue of what is it that has to be done and how we suggest it has to be done, all those letters. And Dr. Nicole and Mr. Bayama will do that. So I must say from the committee side that is done. But we said to the department, they have got up until next week, which means next week is going to be on the agenda. That comparison and all the following matters. So the request is that in August, when we deal with the minutes, we will then deal with only any other matters arising, except that one, because the schedule that the item on its own in the next meeting. Okay, being the case as it may, before I comment, the Department of Mineral Resources, whoever leaves, can lead that. What is in your court? So, President, that I don't show. It might happen. You see, I won't know who shall be on the show. Go and check the list of the ANC or they think it's the ANC and then they have his own new party. No. Yes, I look long what we are doing. By the time we come back on June, how about okay. Go back at the first
thing. Thank you, Chair. I'd like to tender the apologies for the disappointment for Minister, for the Deputy Minister, as well as the DG, who are not able to attend the meeting. And we also have one of the DGs, Ms. Maliki, who is also not able to attend, and is being replaced by and Mr. Musiba as well, who is now represented here by Mr. Monani, who threatened by the Gloria disaster that we are facing with the department. The presentation outline for today is based on those five items: strategic overview, structure overview, summary of performance for the 3 years, which is the financial overview as well as the predetermined objectives, performance highlights per branch, program 1 public services, program 1 financial administration, program 2 mine health and safety inspector service, Program 3, mineral regulation, as well as Program 4, mineral policy and promotion, and our concluding remarks. The strategic overview of the department: the vision is that of us being a leader in the transformation of South Africa through economic growth and sustainable development by 2030, and also as well as being a global competitive, sustainable and meaningful transformed mining and mineral sector by 2019, and we hope by the end of this year we will have made that assessment to see where exactly we are in terms of this for the mission. The mandate of the department, as we know, is that we are tasked with looking at the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act and the Mine Health and Safety Act to provide the regulatory framework for the promotion and regulation of the industry, as well as the ethical access to and the sustainable development of the nation's mineral resources and related matters. Our mission, by so doing, will be led to promote and regulate the minerals and mining sector for transformation, growth and development, and ensure that all South Africans derive sustainable benefits from the country's mineral wealth. The outcomes from the work that we'll be doing with that then would be, we would have increased investment in the minerals, mining and petroleum sectors, a transformed mineral sector, equitable and sustainable benefits from mineral resources, efficient, effective and development-oriented departments. The structure of the department. The structure of the department. We are driven by our political head, which is the Honourable Mr. Gwede Mandache, Honourable Godfrey Oliphant, the Director General, Mr. Advocate Abukwena, and DG, representing the various branches, myself leading corporate services, Mr. Luis Morale, acting CFO, financial administration, mine health and safety, led by David Musita, Advocate Mark Malibe, mine regulation, and Ms. Morale leading the MPP branch. We have our SOEs led by Tabo Dube, acting, Mr. Borza, acting as well as the State Diamond and Precious Metal Regulator, Ms. McWare, at BASA, acting, MinTech, Dr. Molefi Mutuku, State Diamond Trader, led by Stanley Mbuni, and CGS, led by Musa Mabu. The department summary of performance. financial overview. The budget that was allocated for 2018-19 totaled 1,890,661,000, and it was appropriated or portioned to various branches, administration, 335, man health and safety, 205 million, mineral regulation, 793 million, and mineral policy and promotion, 957 million. The expenditure that was going to that would emanate from this budget, the projection to date was that we would have spent 1,491,664,000, and for the actual expenditure to date, which is December 2018, was 1,474,795,000. The variance on projected versus actual expenditure. The variance between, as I say, the expenditure as well as the budget and the actual expenditure was 16,369,000, and which translates to a percentage variance of 1.1%, and the actual expenditure as a percentage of total budget was sitting at 78%. Available budget currently is 415,866,000. That we hope we can be able to expend in this last quarter ending March 2019. The summary of performance, financial overview, as we say, it is just a narrative of what has just been explained, and that the last bullet where the department revenue collected for the period ended in December 2018, quarter 3, amounted to 28.1 million rand against the projected revenue of 29.9 million. The variance is mainly due to decrease in collection of prospecting fees. We move away from finances. The summary of the comments of predetermined objectives, quarter three. I must just explain, Chair, that the request was that we present quarter two and quarter three, but that of this year, but we consolidated the two quarters, and we have cumulative figures that we are presenting, or maybe year-to-date figures that we are presenting, it would be at end of quarter three, which is December 2019. The predetermined objectives was that the overall performance attained by the department at the end of the third quarter was 73.45%, which compared favorably to 64% achieved during the same period during the previous financial year, which is December 2017 and December 2018 that we are reporting on. The reported performance at the end of the third quarter remains lower than full year results from the previous financial year, and this is mainly attributable to the fact that it's a significant number of measures, which is 7%, or 8 in total are only due to at the end of the fourth quarter and will be measured and evaluated at the end of the financial year. So the 8 measures that are outstanding that are not due, the 8 that I've just spoke about we hope we can achieve in the last quarter. It is, however, worth mentioning that at the third quarter performance review, management committed to achieving measures that were reported as not yet due at the end of the fourth quarter, and positively recovering on measures that were reported as partially achieved during the third quarter to bring final performance outcomes in line with the past historical trends. This is just a summary of the audited results of the last 4 years, ending 31st March 2015, for instance, 84.3% performance that was audited and achieved by the department. 31st March 2016, 81.7%, 31st March 2017, 84%, and March 2018, 79.6%. That was achieved as audited. And we're hoping this financial year, 2019, we will obtain, you know, the same kind of results following the trend that we have already portrayed in the last 4 years. So that gives us the department's overview. Can I continue then with the program? Now I'm taking off my hat because I was presenting at the acting DG, so now I'm putting on another hat for that of the DG Corporate Services. I will be presenting the performance of Corporate Services yesterday, which is December 2018, where the purpose of the branch, the work of the branch, would have been to enable the department to deliver on its mandate by providing strategic support, management services, and administrative support to the department and ministry. The key objectives, the strategic objectives of corporate services is that of contributing to skills development, sustainably develop vulnerable groups, communication of DMR programs to internal and external stakeholders, provision of adequate facilities, development, review, and improvement of processes, provision of legal support and advisory services to ministry and departments, implementation of national strategies, compliance with legislation, attraction, development, and retention of skills, and promotion of corporate governance. The outcomes of corporate services are set to provide equitable and sustainable benefits from mineral resources and also efficient, effective, and development-oriented departments. The strategic objectives of corporate services are already outlined in the slide before, and I would then go into the measures that were linked to those objectives. And the three objectives: contribute to skills development, sustainably develop vulnerable groups, communicate DMR programs with internal and external stakeholders. The targets for those objectives have been met, and I can only report on those that have not been achieved. That of a number of identified projects facilitated for vulnerable groups. And the reason for us not having achieved that was due to the project that we had, that we're going to have with the mining company, and due to the strike, we did not finalize that project. And the project was that of them, you know, providing monthly groceries for a year to a disability center at the Tukonstress. And unfortunately, during the period, we had finalized the project, and that project would be taken off ground. And other contribution to the next slide was that, as I said, we've achieved some of the a major link to the contribution to skills development, and the highlight, the slide is just indicating where the career awareness took place. It was in all the provinces and the universities linked to those provinces, as I have outlined. But of course, I suppose you don't see, but I'll just mention that in the Western Cape, the career awareness was made at the University of Western Cape. Mpopo was University of Venda. Free State was Central University of Technology. KZN was Mangosuthu University of Technology. Northwest University. Gauteng University of Johannesburg. Northern Cape, Southwestern University. Mpumalanga Cape University of Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga Province, University of South Africa, and Eastern Cape, Nelson Mandela University. So the title. And the career awareness, this is now the career awareness work that was conducted by HRC, in HR, and we also carried out career awareness by special project, and we also conducted them in these provinces. In Bopo, Mpumalanga, Gauteng, Eastern Cape, Northwest, and Cape FM, and those were the schools linked to those provinces. I see where we had the career awareness. Moving forward to the other objectives of corporate services, that of providing adequate facilities for effective service delivery, and develop, review, and improve internal processes, guidelines, and procedures. Those targets, as I said, have been met, and we are proud to say that yes, they have been, some of them have been overachieved. The next slide would be of the objectives provision of professional legal support and advisory services to the ministry and department. We did achieve some of these measures, except for the one of tender response to opinions, appeals, inquiries, agreements, and litigation. And the reason why we were not able to achieve this was that we had an increase in buyer applications, and which demanded adequate staff to deal with them, and you know, some of things were not attended to as fully as we were supposed to, as we always do. And unfortunately, we're going to try to correct that in this last quarter and make sure that we have been meet the target for that objective. The next objective would be that of ensuring implementation of national strategies. All those measures have been, the targets thereof have been achieved. And the next one, of ensuring compliance with legislation and attract, develop, and retention of skills. Yes, that's all the targets also have been met. The measures have been met for that, and the only one that we are still battling with is that of filling the vacancy, and we've experienced a few resignations towards the end and beginning of this year, 2019, and we are trying frantically, you know, to fill those vacancies. And I'll just show you that the total vacancies that that we can report right now is that of 82 posts, and where we have advertised the 10 of that 82, and we have those that we've already interviewed, are waiting as another personality to result, and so these things will take place this week for the from that issue. Now those that, as I say, that the resignations have been received to be advertised, 25 of that, and we still have to interview 5, and some of them have finalized, and the submission is now en route to the minister for signing, and hopefully when all this is done, we will have at least tried to do that, that all these cases that we can issue to let them to Fatima. The next objective is that of promoting of social governance. Most of the measures for that have also been, all of them have been met, except for one relating to risk management plan that was identified, that we were not able to achieve, and that was relating to the upgrade of security or the asset control in three regions, Rustenburg, Western Cape, as well as Welcome, and we are busy, upgrading security for those three regions, and unfortunately we had hoped we would have done that by the end of this past quarter, and hoping we can do so in this final quarter. And the highlights for corporate services for quarter three is that we were able to have the International Day of Persons with Disabilities at the conference in December 2018. We were able to observe 16 days of activism campaign for no violence against women and children, improve welfare center in Soweto on the 5th of December 2018. And then the 10th Career Awareness Initiative was conducted against the target of AIDS, which is a cumulative measure, and we hope we can continue with this and booking business processes were improved, and standard operating procedures were also developed for each process in order to improve business development. And the target as we say was 11, and we were able to achieve those targets. Thank you, Chair, for conferences. And I will ask for 5 minutes to report.
Thanks, Chair. Good evening, members. I'm going to say that it's on the administration branch. The branch has got four objectives, which is provision of efficient services to internal and external stakeholders, management of financial resources, implementation of processes and systems, and promotion of corporate governance. And all these objectives fit into the outcome of efficient, effective, and development-oriented departments. On the next slide, we have two strategic objectives. The first one, providing efficient services, has got 5 measures. Out of the 5 measures, there is one that is deferred. It was due to be assessed, which is customer satisfaction survey results. The reason why it was deferred when it was approved to be measured is the fact that there were no responses from the department, but we are working hard to make sure that we get responses so that we can identify challenges in the way we issue the services to our branches and be able to improve. And then on the one for implementing processes. We have only one measure, which is implementation of master system plan. The measure is not yet due, but I just need to give comfort to members that this target is going to be achieved on the fourth quarter, because the service provider in the department is actually implementing this project. This relates to the development of the enterprise architect for the new system that we want to implement in the department. We want to develop a system to automate processes and also to take care of some limitations that are brought about by some functionality in some land. So we have a service provider to address the enterprise architect, so we believe that we'll achieve the target at the end of the financial year. On the next slide, under managed financial resources, we have four measures. We achieved three out of four. One relates to number of incidents of irregular expenditure. Is that irregular expenditure that resulted from the irregular contract that was signed with youth accommodation? I need to mention that this irregular will stay until the end of the contract, which is due to end in 2020. So we record it in this financial year, even in next financial year. And the total amount for this is anticipated at about 3 million each year. And then just to outline, to expand on the percentage variance on aggregated budget, which is 1.1% against the target of 2. Then we just want to share the information around how we're going to move around funds for and to find other projects that need more money. We have identified low spending activities within the department, and then members would know that we always had a challenge around the youth accommodation. The budget is not adequate. The amount that was devolved from DPW back in 2006 was not enough to cover our youth accommodation needs. So currently we have a shortfall there. We managed to reallocate some funds to receive student adjusted estimates. But now, in the last quarter, we're going to allocate about 40 million to this accommodation to cover the remaining deficit. And members would note that corporate services is spending more than what they have targeted for the quarter, which is mainly due to this accommodation. When you look at the projections between January and March, which is the last column, for corporate services, we're projecting more than what they have as a balance in their budget just to cover the lease accommodation. And the other program that is spending, that spent more than their target, was men's health and safety with 1.4 million. And this is due to unplanned audits and investigations that emanated from the disaster. So financial administration bank is going to release that 1.4 million to reallocate to mine health and safety. And medical regulation will spend all the money that has been allocated to them. And I've also indicated that the lease accommodation will be topped up from slow spending activities. These activities are in MCT. And on the next slide, we're showing here from the dimension of economic classification. And when you look at the goods and services, there's a negative, which is the same extension that I've given on youth accommodation, which will be covered at the end of the financial year. But what is important to note as well is that under transfers and subsidies, there is 1.047 million that is not going to be spent under transfers and subsidies. This is because then the ring fence allocation for EPWP project that is undertaken by CGS, and then this money is redirected from EPWP to CGS. In the last financial year, there was a target that was set for CGS to create a job. Now, DPW is not happy about the creation of jobs against the target that was set. So we're told not to transfer this money to CGS. So we hold it within the department and later on surrender it to National Treasury. The payment of capital assets is one of the items that didn't spend most of their money as per their target for the third quarter. The variance recorded there for 6.2 million, which is projects that are slow spending. But on this slide, we want to assure the committee that this money will be spent by the end of the financial year. There are items that have been procured already, and most of them are at the delivery stage, and we're expecting to pay by the end of the financial year. These items are computer equipment refresh for head office and regional offices, a replacement of all house for independent furniture in Cape Town and general regional offices, the walkthrough metal detectors for Limpopo, Lesotho, Rustenburg, Leather and Housing National Offices, the surveillance camera for Telkom National Office, and the switches for the servers that we have for the department. On the next slide, the last objective there is promoting corporate governance, and there are five measures on this. Four of those have been met. We have met the target. One is only due on the fourth quarter. And we anticipate that at the end of the fourth quarter we shall have achieved this target. This target relates to development of processes within the IT environment. The service provider who is currently commissioned to do enterprise architect will also develop the processes. So once the project is completed, this measure will be achieved. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, acting teaching, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, good morning. I will be giving a report for second and third quarter for performance for the Miners and Safety Branch. Chairperson, it is important to mention that in developing our sixth strategic objective as a branch, we've taken into account the objectives of the Miners and Safety Act. The Mine Health and Safety Act was developed to protect health and safety of persons at mine. It is in that regard that our first strategic objective is to promote health and safety of mine workers. Also, in order to effectively address issues of health and safety at mines, we need people with correct skills at every management level. Hence, the branch is responsible for administering the government certificate of competence as means of contributing to skills development in the industry. Again, in cases where we don't have skills internally as a branch, we need to enter into service level agreements with professional entities like mine rescue services,
as well as MQA. I think the chair, in his opening remarks, he indicated the tragedy that we are currently faced with at Gloria, where Mine Rescue Services is very much assisting in ensuring that we get those miners that are still trapped underground. Again, as we know that health and safety conditions and risk are ever changing, especially as we mine deeper, it is important for the branch to continuously develop and review our internal processes to make sure that we address the issues of health and safety. And on issues of turnaround time, the nature of our work demands that we must at all times be responsive to the issues that affect mine employees. Hence, it is important that issues of turnaround time are taken very seriously. Lastly, in terms of the corporate governance, the Chief Inspector of Mines, in terms of Section 49B, must coordinate the exercise of the function of Miners and Safety Inspectorate with other organs of the state in respect of regulating and promoting occupational health and safety in accordance with the principles of corporate governance contemplated in Chapter 3 of the Constitution. Next slide. The six strategic objectives will give us an outcome which will be the transformed mineral sector, enabling us to make sure that we meet our vision as explained by the acting DGG earlier on in the presentation. Next slide. When we deal with issues of promoting health and safety, we've decided to categorize our measures into categories. We've got proactive measures as well as reactive measures, but I will explain what do I mean. When we look at proactive measures, we've got about four measures, which is the conducting of inspection, as well as the body. And in terms of Section 49J of the Mine Health and Safety Act, the Chief Inspector of Mine is supposed to prepare health and safety report as well as the activities of the inspectorate and submit that report. And in that regard, we've managed to reach the target. Hence, the report was submitted to the minister in September 2018. And lastly, the number of tripartite workshops, in line with Section 1 of the Mine Health and Safety Act, where it calls for collaboration between all stakeholders, being the employer, employees, as well as government. We have decided to come up with what we call regional tripartite forums, which is the platform where we discuss issues of health and safety with our stakeholders. In this regard, we have targeted 45 workshops, and we managed to surpass that target by 30, and we had 58 workshops that were conducted. Next slide. On issues of also promoting health and safety, which are in nature a reactive, because after accidents as well as fatalities, we are compelled by the Mine Health and Safety to conduct investigations as well as inquiries into the fatalities. In that regard, it is important to mention that when it comes to issues of investigation, as a branch, we've managed to surpass our target of 80%. And our actual performance at the end of December 2018 was at 94. I think I will explain later on the reasons behind that. And when it comes to inquiries, we had some challenges in terms of meeting our target, but we strongly believe that before the end of the financial year, we will make some improvement in terms of catching up with a target of 80, because by December we were at 64. And again, I will explain everything later on what led to that partial achievement. When it comes to occupational injuries, we are proud to indicate that at least out of a percentage of 20, we managed to achieve 14%, which is not exactly what we had aimed for. However, it is indicative that at least we are moving towards the right direction. Lastly, the one measure that we are really struggling with is the issues of fatalities. Members will recall that health and safety of mine workers, particularly the fatalities, continue to be a great concern for the department. I think we have mentioned that several times in our presentation. The main contributors of fatalities are falls of ground, transport, general accidents, as well as fire and explosion accidents. Unfortunately, we are targeted to reduce fatalities by 20%, and by December we only achieved 9%. I think maybe moving to the next slide, this will then indicate that as we started the year, the financial year, we had a couple of disasters. We had a disaster in May, a disaster in June, as well as a disaster in July. Three of those disasters led to 18 people who were killed within a period of 3 months. And it is for that reason that we had to put up certain measures to really try and cap the spike in terms of the fatalities. We'll recall that, unfortunately, coming from 2017, the figure of 2017 as compared to the previous year indicated that for the first time in 10 years, we've seen some regression in fatalities. However, after those disasters, we have seen that from the second and the third quarter, we have managed to turn the corner in terms of going back to the journey of zero harm. I think the numbers are indicating that as from August, we have seen a downward trend in terms of the fatalities as compared to the fatalities that were reported in 2017. And we are very optimistic that before the end of the financial year, the number of fatalities that occurred in 2018 is less than the fatalities that happened in 2017. There will be a significant improvement. It might not meet our target, but at least we are in the right direction. Next slide. I think one of the issues where we indicated that we have overachieved when it comes to the issues of investigations that were initiated versus those that were completed. During the period of second and the third quarter, we had managed to complete 424 investigations and initiated 541. And that gave us a percentage performance of 94%, which is above the target, which we have aimed at 80. And from this slide, it is indicative that the majority of the injuries that we have dealt with include the general type of accident, which is the major contributor of the injuries, and then followed by transport, transportation and mining, and as well as fall of ground. The picture here indicates that when you look at the number of injuries, we are moving towards to have those general type of accidents as opposed to falls of ground as well as transport mining, which is something very encouraging because at least the general type of accidents are unlikely to lead to fatality. Next slide. When we look at issues of inquiries, I've indicated earlier on that the target was 80, but we managed to only achieve 64, which is regarded as a partial achievement. And again here, the type of accidents that we had to deal with include falls of ground, general types of accidents, transportation and mining, fires and heat treatment. When we talk issues of contributing to skills development, as I've indicated, it's important earlier on. We have developed an example in assisting us with the administration of the government certificate of competency. And we are very proud to report that by the end of December, all those steps that are involved in managing and administering these exams, we achieved 100%. And the outcome is also very much positive, as I've indicated that these two competence certificates are very critical in terms of addressing health and safety at the managerial level. The total numbers are as follows. For 2017, we issued 53 certificate of competence for first and third quarter, and we saw an improvement in the number of managerial certificate of competence that moved to 68. As well as in the case of manager certificate, we also saw an improvement from 27 to 49. I must indicate that these two certificates of competence are very critical because for every employer, you need to appoint a manager or an engineer to operate. And without the certificate, you cannot be able to be appointed in those positions. Next slide. When we look on issues of implementing SLA, I think I've touched earlier on that we currently have an SLA with the mine rescue services. And I wanted to indicate that the importance of really ensuring that we keep this SLA intact is for situations where we find that we need to respond to emergencies, and as the department we might not have that the capacity in-house, and we rely on mine rescue services. And with our SLA with mine rescue services, we are very proud that all the targets that we have put for ourselves, we have managed to achieve 100%, and the relationship that we have with and the services that we get from the mine rescue services is very much important. When it comes to the development of internal processes, again, we have achieved 100% as per our target. And in this regard, as I've indicated earlier on, that with the challenges that we normally experience, it is important that periodically we need to develop and review our internal processes. It is important to also mention that one of the issues that, as an example, I can refer to that we addressed in December was the promulgation of the new regulations that are aimed at addressing challenges relating to blasting in the mine host communities, which normally result to challenges between the communities as well as the mine. And we are currently implementing those regulations to address those challenges. And I think I've touched on issues of prescribed time frame, which in terms of medical appeal, the law requires that an employee can put an appeal if he has been found unfit to perform any duty by the occupational medical practitioner, and every employer has a recourse to appeal that decision, and it is important for the department to make sure that we deal with those appeals timely appeal. And that's why we have surpassed our target by 90% as opposed to a target of 80%. Again, when it comes to issues of appeals to the Chief Inspector of Mines, as inspectors, we have certain powers where we can issue enforcement measures. And it does happen that now and again people might not agree with the decision, and the law provides that every person who's adversely affected by the decision of an inspector can appeal that decision, and therefore it is important those appeals to be dealt with timely. Hence, we had to achieve our target of 100%. On issues of MPRCA, as the inspector, it is important that before mining rights are granted, we then make comments on the applications of every applicant to ensure that issues of health and safety are incorporated on the initial stages. In this regard, we achieved a 97% as opposed to 100%. And we are comfortable that with the amount of time that is left, we will be able to achieve 100% as per our target. And the reason behind this is that sometimes when we are called out to go and verify some of those areas where mining might be taking place before we can make our comments, the availability of those people who are applied becomes a challenge, which then leads to delays. And we have requested with our counter, with our sister branch, Mineral Regulation, to ensure that we get assistance in that regard. Lastly, I think I've touched on issues of responsiveness, that there are administrative tasks that come our way, and it is important that we respond on time on all applications that are put forward to the inspectorate. In that regard, we achieved 89% as opposed to 80%, which was the target. The next slide indicates the issues of promotion of corporate governance. In this regard, I think we've got four measures that we have put for ourselves to ensure that we can measure how we perform when it comes to issues of corporate governance. I think one area that we had actually achieved is the implementation of internal management action plan as proposed by our internal auditors. The performance at the end of December was at 90%, and we are very comfortable that by the year end, by the end of the financial year, we would achieve all those management action plans. In this regard, I think the challenge was the development of the inspector's manual, as well as the template, which needed to be taken to all 10 regions to ensure that by the time we implement this, everyone is online. And the due date for this was supposed to be the end of March. So we are comfortable that come end of March, we have been achieved our target. The other targets include external audit, which we achieved 100%, adherence to compliance framework, we achieved 100%, and also on risk issues, because there are risks that we need to now and again look at as the branch. In that regard, again, we are proud to indicate that we achieved 100%. Looking at the highlights, I think on the opening remarks from the chairperson indicate that the challenges that we are currently busy with, but we want to reflect that a similar situation in July, which was the beginning of the second quarter, we had a fire accident that opened in one of our gold mines called Gold One, in Johannesburg, where fire broke out. At the time of the accident, there were 144 employees that were underground. Fortunately, all those employees were evacuated to the refuge base, and they were then brought out on buses, and no one was affected. So we take that one as a highlight because of the significant number that were involved and the number of people that were trapped. And also to indicate that with our SFA, with the mindless facilities, as well as mine employees and management, we managed to take swift actions to ensure that we avert any potential disaster relating to that fire accident, the old one. On quarter three, looking at the challenges, as I've explained earlier on, of health and safety in the mining sector, as well as the regression that we had encountered in 2017, and as well as the spikes and the disasters that we encountered at the beginning of the financial year 2018-19, we were supposed to conduct what we call a mine health and safety summit, which was supposed to be in November. And looking at the spikes, I think the department took a very bold decision to bring that summit earlier, and the summit was held in October 18 and 19. I must indicate that the summit was a success, firstly because it was attended by all stakeholders, that will be employees, led by their unions, in this case being LUM, AMCU, Solidarity and UWASA, the Mineral Council of South Africa, the previously known as Chamber of Mines, was present. We also had the Department of Health and Department of Minerals, both led by the Minister. And also we had members of the TPC in attendance, led by the Chairperson. And the reason we had this summit, we had to assess the progress towards our zero harm at mines, and also chart way forward in addressing health and safety challenges moving forward. The critical topics that were addressed included falls of grounds, seismicity, noise-induced hearing loss, tuberculosis, as well as HIV, right to refuse dangerous work. Because we have also picked up that one of the things is that workers, although they've got the right, but they still have a challenge in terms of exercising that right. And on issues, also issues of occupational lung diseases, which are continuously a challenge, examples being the same causes, and lastly, the issues of fire and explosions. And again, as I conclude, it is important to mention that the summit was a success, that since that time we held the summit in October. The following months we have been constantly improving in terms of our fatalities at mines, and we are very much optimistic that the outcomes were positive. And the last highlight was the issue of the commemoration of World AIDS Day. Members will recall that we do have challenges when it comes to issues of HIV and AIDS, including TB, affecting our mine employees. In support of the health minister in addressing this scourge of HIV and TB, we hosted what we called the World AIDS Day commemoration at Olympia Park in Rustenburg. The event took place on the 7th of December, in collaboration with Platinum Mines that are in Rustenburg, as well as local health and local government bodies under the theme that check our impilo, not your status. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mwanga.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm going to be presenting on behalf of Advocate Malebe for the Mineral Regulation Branch. Our key objectives as a branch are six, and they are to promote job creation, to promote sustainable resource use and management, to reduce environmental liability and financial risk to the state, to implement transformation policies and legislation, to monitor and enforce compliance, and lastly, to promote corporate governance. On the first of our outcomes being equitable and sustainable mental benefits from mental resources, we have three objectives there, which is again to promote job creation, to promote sustainable resource use and management, and to reduce state liability and financial risk. Under the transformation of the mineral sector, our responsibility is to implement transformation policies and legislation, and under efficient, effective and development oriented department, our role there is to monitor and enforce compliance and to promote cooperative governance. Turning to the objective of job creation, I'm going to talk to the areas where we did not achieve quite well. Under the percentage of approved SLPs published, the honorable members would know that the Mining Charter has only been in the Gazette late last year, and with the Mining Charter Gazette, it has allowed us a room where even the mining companies will, from the 1st of April, implement this measure. By implementing this, what we mean is within 30 days after we issue a mining right, a company must publish a social and labor plan for it to be transparent to its mining and host communities. Under number of jobs created through mining, we are not going to achieve this measure even at the end of the financial year, because mainly we have seen a reduction in the mining rights that are being prospective rights that are graduating into mining rights. And furthermore, we're experiencing a number of retrenchments in the mining sector. Moving to the next slide, I'm going to then talk to we have achieved in respect of reducing state environmental liability and financial risk. We have achieved 100% under the percentage of special notices and orders that we issued to remedy inadequate financial provision. And we have achieved also a percentage of special notices issued to remedy environmental non-compliance. And we've also achieved on a percentage of social certificates that we've issued in line with the regulatory framework. And we have also achieved in respect of complaints received with the social inspector. Moving on to the objective of reducing state environmental liability, I will also on this slide focus on the areas that we can achieve on. The first one is the percentage of statutory notices and directives that we issued. We have overachieved on that one, but I will explain why we see that as an overachievement. We are reporting an actual of 143 notices that we have confirmed. A total of these 143 notices were issued during the third quarter, plus the two incidences of non-compliances which we identified. The reason for the additional 14 notices is due to the fact that non-compliance identified in the second quarter, of which is of 14, were only finalized in the third quarter, resulting in the overachievement of 643. And now, percentage of complaints those received, we have underachieved in this measure. The reason for that being is a dependency measure. We depend on the national NPA and the SAPS to take through our cases and to investigate and finalize them. So we can only close this case once a prosecution file has been closed. Moving to the next objective of implementation of transformation policies and legislation, we have overachieved one on the number of rights granted to HDSA, mainly because it is applicants who decide, it is HDSA who decide to apply. So we have overachieved on that. On number of consultations and engagements and conflict management with communities and stakeholders, honorable members would know that during the second quarter and the third quarter, we were quite busy with the mining charter and with the three communities that we had to go to unpack the mining charter 3-2. And then we also had engagements, a lot of engagements and litigations which we had to engage on, including the Colombian scenario
determine the scenario in Limpopo. We've got Bukoni in Northwest, we've got a constitutional court judgment that they affect Makata Makapela. Under the percentage of compliance by mining industry, we have not achieved on this, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we have not achieved. We do conduct inspections and we do issue statutory notices to the company. The only thing is the modalities of calculating the level of which companies are compliant, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we are not doing anything in respect of this matter. So we, like the Acting CFO has said, the project, we're currently working on a holistic tool that is going to be able to assist us to report on compliance by the industry. Moving on to the next slide, on monitor and enforce compliance, under number of environmental compliance inspections conducted, we have overachieved this measure. The reason for that is we are currently implementing NEMA, and whenever you receive a NEMA application, you have to conduct a pre-inspection before you can adjudicate environmental authorization. And this number is also attributed to the number of complaints on environmental grounds that we have been operating, so that's why our actual target is high. On the adherence to the prescribed time frame committed to CPME, we have highly underachieved under this, and the reason for that is when we developed this measure under the APP, we were still implementing the NPRPA under the environmental legislation, wherein we were implementing Section 39 towards the outer section of the NPRPA. So we were basing our compliance with time frame on the date on which the environmental management plan is signed by the regional manager, and we're calculating the time frame there. But what we have done in the new APP, we have taken into consideration the fact that we are now implementing NEMA, and we either have to calculate our time frame by virtue of an environmental authorization being issued by the regional manager, that's something, and I must explain this. The normal time frame for completing a current NEMA application is 350 days. Now, if you have filed something to add, it automatically stretches your target in terms of compliance with the time frame. So you will automatically fall out of target. So what we have done in the current APP, we've taken the implementation of NEMA and we're going to measure ourselves with the time frames that are undertaken and that are stipulated under National Environment Management Plan. Moving on to the next slide, on promoting of corporate governance, we are on par with the issues of corporate governance, and we have achieved on that. And then moving on to the highlights for the quarter, we have launched a few projects in Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Gauteng, and Free State, and we have articulated the value of the project. But I must say, these are not only limited our projects are not only limited to this, because you would recall that the minister in November opened a mine in Mpumalanga and in Gauteng. So those are some of the key projects and highlights that we have not mentioned here. And the following slides are basically an indication of the projects that we are working on in the previous slide. Thank you, Senator.
Also is a slide that hasn't changed, that we've been taking the committee through on our outcomes. So I will maybe start going into detail from this slide onwards. For us to promote investment, upstream to the mining and upstream to criminal sectors, the number of initiatives as listed on the federal that we undertake, like we compile publications and our target as of quarter, the end of quarter three was present, and the actual is really so we overachieved on that. And on the investment promotion workshop, the target is 33, but you see there there's 32. We actually have met the 33. The reason why we put 32 there is that when the reporting system opened for us and we were to upload and verification process, the minutes had not been signed and the system does not allow us to upload, but those reports and the minutes are there. We will make sure that we upload in time by the end of quarter four before the system closes. On Ocean's Economy, we are doing very well, especially. This measure is a bit of a difficult and complicated one because we implement it in conjunction with a number of other departments. But so far, I must say the department has done very well on the work, especially around shale gas and also marine mining, and the work that we are doing with VIA on the protection of our marine resources. Number of SMMEs supported, we had a target of 60, but we are at the end of quarter three, we were sitting at 75, so we're doing quite well in that area as well. Social dialogue is similar with the investment promotion workshop. We've actually had a lot of social dialogue with our social partners. And the only reason really that we have in one day is, again, there was that issue of signing of minutes, and the managers responsible at the time that the system was open for us to upload were not available. And I couldn't sign those minutes because I was not part of those meetings. So we agreed that we will put them as best and make sure that we update when we do our reporting for quarter four. That slide just gives a breakdown of the SMMEs that we supported the province. I know there's always a question that comes up to say, why are other provinces more than others? It's really a question of where the most activity is. That's what dictates to us. We have a lot of diamond diggers, for example, in the Northwest and the Northern Cape, and of course we have to be responsive and focus there. And then that is followed by KZN and Free State. Not much in the Eastern Cape and Limpopo, quite a bit in Mpumalanga. And again, not much activity in the Eastern Cape. So those numbers are really dictated to us by where the most activity is. Shale gas, I've spoken to that. We are doing quite well with shale gas. In fact, this Friday we'll be leaving for Canada to attend the PDAC, which is the equivalent of mining in Daba. It's also a great platform for us to serve as an investment destination. But what we've done, while we are there in Canada, we said, let's make maximum use of the time and money spent to get there. We've arranged for the government of Canada in the different states to engage with them on shale gas development, particularly on the regulatory framework. We just want to learn from them how are they doing, because we do know that Canada is one of the leading countries in the exploitation of shale gas. So we have a series of meetings set up already for us to engage with the Canadian different states. Interestingly enough, different states in Canada regulate differently on shale gas. Some states allow it, some don't. Like in Calgary, it's allowed, so with visits in Calgary, we are planning to even go on site visits, you know, to see for ourselves. All of these noises that we are receiving about shale gas, whether it's true or not, and just for us to learn, you know, to say where they are exploiting shale gas already, how are they protecting the environment, you know, particularly on the protection of water resources, which is where we're getting a lot of noise. So we really are doing well on that project. But also the second aspect that we want to be looking into why we are there is in our own research project, which is part of the marching order that was given to us by Cabinet in 2012, was that we need to test fracking. So we've done all the baseline studies, we've done all the test work, we've done the SIA, and the next step for us is to give that vehicle that 3.5 kilometers deep. CGS is ready to do that, they will do that work within quarter four. Then after that, we need to then test, drill a well, and test, like, basically frack that well. But we don't have that capacity in South Africa. So we will also be engaging next week with some companies in Canada who do have that drill equipment. Basically, it's equipment that can drill vertically to 3.5 kilometers, and then about a kilometer horizontally. We don't have that expertise. That will help us get a sense of how much we're talking, for us to get that drilled into South Africa, how long it will take, how much it will cost us, and the man hours, how much it will cost us, and risk management strategy, how much it will cost us, and what it is that we need to do to put that in place. So that's where we are with it, but I must say, and at that point then we would have completed the homework in terms of our own investigation into possibilities of exploiting shale gas in South Africa. And the only leg that would be left is the leg that's before the court at the moment, where the regulations that we've developed were taken to court. On the critical minerals to drive beneficiation, it's one, they're not, sorry for that typo. It's not yet due, it's due at the end of quarter four, and we are ready, the report is about 95% complete, and we will be ready to report on that at the end of quarter four. On international strategic partnerships implemented, we had a target of four, and we only did one. There's a number of reasons behind that, but we are trying to attend to those reasons. Firstly, one of the countries that we identified in our ATP that we needed to visit, which we have an MOU with, is Angola. Now, we engage with Angola at different levels. There's a country MOU, there's a specific departmental MOU, and then there's the African Diamond Producing Country, ALPA, to which we are a member. It's us, it's Angola, it's Zambia, it's and every time we try to set up, because in the statute of ALPA, ministers have to meet at least once a year. Every time we try to convene the ministers meeting, two ministers from other countries would decline. When Angola was due to hold, they would go through the arrangements a few weeks or days before they cancelled on us. So we've been having those challenges. But we've elevated this matter, particularly with Angola, and we took the initiative to set up bilateral for ministers during a mining endeavor. So minister did have a meeting with his minister when they were here for mining endeavor, and we agreed on how to move going forward. And in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we will have a team that will be going to Angola to address those issues. But also, similarly with another one, which is Pemdex. Pemdex is a mining company comprising of South Africa, Zimbabwe, and Zambia. I'm sure the committee has an appreciation of the background to Pemdex. But Pemdex has its own challenges, which are beyond us, and we are working on elevating the matter via a key memo. Because, one, there are fees to be paid by all the member states. Other member states have not been paying. It's only been African Exploration that's been paying, which is our rep at South Africa. But at some point, African Exploration also took a decision that they will not continue carrying the cost by themselves. So there's been those, some on some of the strategic partnerships, there's been those challenges that are really beyond us, and we are working on elevating those and for them to be sorted out. But I must be upfront to say it doesn't mean that on international partnerships we have not been doing anything. We have been doing some work. We have been engaging with a number of African countries, like in a few months ago we visited Burkina Faso to pursue our relations with them on mining. 2 weeks ago we were in Congo Brazzaville again to pursue our strategic partnership with them. During the week of the 15th of March, we will be in Tanzania to engage with our colleagues from the entire continent on the AU commodity strategy, because we need to discuss and engage on that strategy and make sure that it's final and ready for approval at the next AU meeting. So there's quite a number of activities that we have been doing in that front. Despite us having met challenges, because what we did, we then set and said to ourselves, if what the countries that we identified are having challenges, do we then put them in a field, or can we look at other areas where we can do some work? And this is what we have done, and we have those reports available should members require or wish to have an insight into that follow-up work. I've spoken about shale gas. We're quite happy with where we are. Before the minister, on bullet number 3, for me to explain that the deep 3.5 kilometer hole that CCS is going to be drilling at this in this quarter is just a simple stratigraphic hole. It's not a well to test the fracking. And for that to happen, they do need to do at least a 2-day survey. And they have done all the procurement work, technical specifications that have been put in place for that to be done. And just before we do the actual well, we would do a 3D seismic survey. A drilling consultant has been appointed. CGS is ready to move ahead with that work. On the technical partnerships with department, I must say we, again, they are doing very well. There's quite a lot of work on different areas that we're doing here. And I do hope that, or hoping at some point, like the honorable member said earlier on, that next week we will no longer exist. Before that, we were hoping that we would have an opportunity again to present jointly as DMR and here, so the two committees could really have an appreciation of how much progress has happened in different areas. One in marine mining, on protecting sensitive areas, and the implementation of the one environmental system. A lot has been made, and we are quite happy with the progress that we made even. The EMP, that's a mistake, apologies. The departmental EMP was reviewed and gazetted by November last year. So we've achieved on that. Number of reports developed on closure in DNO. We have a target of 1 and we did achieve that of end of quarter 3. Derelict and ownerless mine, we are behind on that target, but I must say that in quarter 3, from quarter 1 and 2, where we had reported, quarter 1 we reported 0, and in quarter 2 we reported 10. Within quarter 3 alone, we managed to complete 10 sites. And we really think that we did quite a lot, you know, to ensure that our service providers, Council for Justice and Mistakes, will pull up their socks. And currently, another set of sites have been, work has begun in those sites, so we're confident that by the end of quarter 4, we would have achieved on our target. Environmental tools developed, we are okay with that. We've achieved relevant department engagement. We also are doing very well on that. It's a number of areas again that are affected. The work on ocean fatigue, with the environmental work that we're doing. It's quite a number that we're working with and we're happy with the progress. Because at some point, I remember, I think it was a quarter two report that we were presenting, we did mention to the committee that we were having challenges of non-availability of some of the departments, and we elevated that to the directors general, and they did assist us. So we do have, when we need to be sitting monthly, we do sit monthly, and there's a lot of progress that we've noted out of that. Legislative instruments. We managed in September to gazette the mining charter, and in December we gazetted the guidelines to the mining charter, so we're quite happy with that piece as well. The review of business processes is only due at the end of quarter four, so we're still ready with that. Adherence to time frames, we always say we must at least be at 95%, but we are always at 100. And that includes things like any query that we receive from any stakeholder, but also we look at, for example, parliamentary questions, and we always respond to those within 48 hours. And we're happy to see that long list of parliamentary questions that were circulated in January, where departments were owing, like others were owing 35, others were owing, and we're not owing anything. So we're doing very well. We're doing very well, and we're proud of ourselves. Okay. Again, on corporate governance, we are doing quite well. We are happy with the way we are progressing, both on internal audit issues and external audit issues. We've really on this taken a proactive approach where we engage with our internal auditors on issues, even with the AG up front. We engage already this year as a branch. We've had two meetings with the Auditor General just to go through and agree on how they will be auditing us and how they will be expecting us to package the responses. And we find that it's working so well for us, and we are going to keep at it like that. Just to touch a bit on the highlights, I know we've spoken about this charter, but we thought we might mention it again, and the guidelines, which we then started in December. On the 29th of November, we also hosted the first ever oil and gas breakfast for ministers with the industry players in oil and gas, and that, I must say that that was received very well by the industry, because we've received a number of cries that there isn't enough engagement with industries. Like DMR has this closed door policy, we're not opening ourselves up to the industry, and yet we're expecting them to make these investments and create the jobs that we expect them to. So we had that, and it was well received. At the 15th sitting of ITEC in Russia in November, we managed to sign a cooperation agreement and an implementation plan, particularly on platinum group metals. And in that plan, there's quite a number of initiatives that we are already starting to implement, like exchange programs on skills development. Like, they were taking us through some technology which we don't have yet in South Africa, where they do part of exploration work using drone technology. So the plan is we are going to be taking some young geologists to Russia to study this technology, so we make sure that we advance ourselves as well as we embark on that extensive drilling program for the country. So we're quite happy with that, and we're looking forward to the exciting outcomes that will come out of that cooperation with Russia. On the Kimberley process, South Africa was appointed as the chair, and we thought that is a highlight worth mentioning, because this is an international process, high-level process, which carries a lot of weight for all diamond-producing countries. So for us to be trusted as the KP chair, is a treat for us, and the success in us hosting them in October, we hosted the other K teachers, and this two-day session was a success. And then we also in November had some of our colleagues going to participate at the Human Process Plenary in Brussels. And there, I must say, we managed to push our government agenda, because we have challenges with EU. For example, they had come up with a clause which is not in our statutes or the constitution, a clause that touches on these court cases that we've had recently, which we don't necessarily entirely agree with on the issue of consent. So they were pushing for a clause that says diamonds which were mined where consent had not been given by communities must be regarded as diamonds. And we managed to get that not to be adopted. Just now in the sitting that's coming next week in the UN, they were wanting to push that as well to take it in the UN. And we were on a conference call early this week with the chair, the new incoming international chair, which is India, to say, remember, we did not adopt that in Brussels. Make sure it does not go through in the UN. So we're quite happy with our achievements and us being active in the Kimberley process as a whole, in pursuing the agenda and driving the agenda for the development of the And let's chair, the Honourable Chair, brings me to the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. This brings us to the end of our presentation at the department. And we will hand over to the Chair.
Thank you very much. My time now is 9 minutes past 11. Comfort has been past 11 in 10 minutes time. The first one to come will, and his hand or her hand is up, will be the one to ask the question. Two, we will take according to the program, but the background and corporate services will be clustered together. The rest will go according to each program. Thank you very much.